For 40 years, Ward Stone was the wildlife pathologist for the State Department of Environmental Conservation. He was widely viewed as an environmental hero for his willingness to do independent research on local environmental problems with little regard for his state bureaucrat bosses. WOC correspondents sat down with Ward recently to discuss how climate change is impacting wildlife, as well as discuss some of the problems with the old Albany Answers garbage incinerator in Arbor Hill, where the governor wants to install two new gas turbines to power the Empire State Plaza.
So we're talking with Ward Stone, a retired wildlife pathologist from DEC, certainly one of the people's heroes for a year for his independent voice. Ward, as a wildlife expert, you know, how have you been seeing changes in wildlife over the years in terms of climate change?
I've noticed changes a lot. One is that as things have gotten warmer, insects have had a longer season for operation in a lot of cases, like mosquitoes. You can get mosquito activity early in the spring, last of the summer as it did before, but it can go late into the fall. And I think that played a role in the virus coming in, which caused West Nile fever. I discovered that. And I discovered it in birds that were sent in by wildlife rehabilitators that they were dying strangely. And at first I couldn't really figure what the heck was killing them, because I figured I knew the causes of death in crows really quite well, because I started as pathologist in 69. So some 20 some odd years looking at crows, and all of a sudden I saw different patterns of pathology. In other words, the autopsies, the necropsies that I performed on these birds, I saw changes in the tissues that I hadn't seen before, and a lot. And that led eventually to identifying that it was West Nile virus. And while I was doing that, I talked to people in other parts of the world, and I talked to the Russians near Moscow at the time, and the scientists anyway, different than what Trump would be talking to, apparently. And they were saying, well, they didn't have any West Nile virus until now. Now they've got it. And, of course, Moscow, which was a pretty cold place, was warming up with climate change, with global warming, whatever kind of terms you want to do, with a higher ambient temperature through the year. So in that case, I think that disease has made it a lot of places, partly because the birds were moved, but the mosquitoes were there and operating to the benefit of the virus. So that's one of the things that's happening, is that the darn virus is getting moved around a lot by mosquitoes that are able to operate in the warmer climates. Whole bunch of things. And I was just talking with you before about crows, because there used to be lots and lots of crows around here. There are two kinds of crows that are in New York State normally. One is the common crow, one is the fish crow. Fish crow is much smaller. There used to be huge numbers of crows coming by here. Every time that it got towards dark in the fall, because they would roost over by RPI, you would see hundreds of crows going by. There were federal government programs to scare the birds out. Well, there aren't very many crows around anymore. I don't see them. And, of course, nobody really follows up to see what happens to populations of wildlife after something like West Nile is there. And I'm not the pathologist anymore, so these kinds of things are not being done.
Well, one of the things you did explore over the years, which is somewhat back in the news these days, was the Albany Answers garbage incinerator on Sheridan Avenue. The Governor Cuomo, the new Governor Cuomo, wants to put two new gas turbines to once again, basically pollute that neighborhood for another 30 years. But when you're looking at Answers, so this garbage incinerator the state operated in, I guess, in the 80s and the 90s, what are some of the problems that you discovered?
Well, I want to finish off one thing, Mark, And that is that we can expect a lot more of the infectious diseases doing well because of the warming atmosphere. What I discovered was, I discovered that there were poor people in the vicinity of that plant, and there was a lot of fallout of particulate material from the old garbage-burning plant that they had down there. And they had two sources of energy production. One was getting it out of the garbage that was being burned. The other was burning Bunker C oil, a heavy oil, and producing electricity and heat for state buildings there. And I found that that was a heck of a mess. I don't know the answers to this day to some of the questions that appeared in my mind. I went down there one day about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had my state ID, I took a state car, went down, and I looked for ways of getting in the building and letting them know that I was there, because I could see the smoke coming out and I wanted to see the plant in operation, because I was curious as to about the kind of pollution that would be coming out. You have to be too smart to figure that burning solid waste the way they were doing, there would be a myriad of pollutants coming out, from lead to carcinogens to things like dioxin. That would be dangerous for people, but dangerous in the long run. You ignore them today, time goes on, no one studies the people, they don't keep track of the people as to what they get and what they die from. So never gets pinned down as to what the cause of morbidity and mortality in the people or animals in that area are. Well, I was amazed. And I mean, I saw things down there, like they had a bunch of little incinerators in the building, and there was garbage in there burning. And by garbage, I mean it might be plastic goods mixed in with paper and bottles and all sorts of things, plastic bottles, mixed in, smoldering away inside the incinerators, along with pieces of wood that were painted and the like. There were a lot of sources of chemicals. And there wasn't even anybody watching them. Many of these little incinerators were going, and the smoke was coming out and was settling out. I saw kids playing right out there. They had like a small front-end loaders that they would scoop up ash with, run it across the street and stow it in another building on the other side of the street. Then the ash went to the county landfill, the Albany City landfill, out in the Pine Bush, and was put in there where no waste of that type really should go. And they've been putting waste like that, garbage, into there right up till now. Mm-hmm. But no one has followed to see what that means. And of course, you got an endangered species out there. It can't be a good thing at all. And of course, that's festering down in the ground, producing its own heat as it rots with water getting into it, and producing methane and other gases.
And why would we be concerned about methane?
Methane is, of course, the gas that it's got by fracking. But it's produced in many ways, and that's one of them, is a decaying, like in wetlands. But methane, of course, is one of the major gases in climate change. CO2 is probably the most important of the gases after they're out there, because of its ability to build up in the atmosphere, which it has done tremendously in the last couple of hundred years, and one that I'm after all the time to cut back on, because that's doing things like CO2 going into the water, produces carbonic acid, which impacts on the coral, which impacts on the ecology of the ocean. The production of many organisms is dependent upon the ocean and maintaining the pH of it. So methane, and of course when you burn methane, I can recall all the way back to about seventh grade general chemistry, a general science class, Mrs. Stedman talking about, any time you burn something, you're going to produce primarily CO2 and water vapor. And that intrigued me back then. It's intrigued me, and it gets worse than that, of course, when you burn something like an air. Since the air has got an awful lot of nitrogen in it, more nitrogen than oxygen, You get nitrous oxides, even if you're burning primarily something like methane, you're getting that, you're getting the CO2, you're getting stuff like nitrogen oxide from just having that raw material of the air itself there, the elements in the air. So we've got to the point where we've impacted on the entire world, everybody, the Chinese, India, Pakistan, Guatemala, El Salvador, Israel, England, the U.S. So who do we have, you know, right now concerned about this? Everybody to some degree, except officially the U.S. hasn't done anything about it. They've even cut back. They've taken perfectly good people who cared about the environment and removed them. Scientists and administrators like your wife. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. The United States going backwards at the same time the rest of the world is recognizing that how important it is to their survival, to them, their domestic animals, their vegetation, their kids. We have got to the point where we don't seem to recognize that. We recognize a few rich people who can make more money burning coal and things of that sort and polluting the heck out of the environment. And we're supporting them when we should be supporting more on solar and geothermal and wind and things of that sort. Rather than what we're doing right now.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time. This has been Ward Stone, and this is Mark Dunley for WOOC.
That was former DEC wildlife pathologist Ward Stone speaking with WOOC correspondent Mark Dunley.